I want to pause to tell you of a swift and dramatic enactment of poetic justice. I'm sorry to have to correct Dr. Muir, but this poetry center opened in November of 1960 for other poets to live, be taken care of, bed and breakfast, that is. And in 1961 of September, after my first trip to Japan, just as I was leaving, I was given a house for life in which to write poetry. In being given this house, the priest, before it was a priest of a Zen Buddhist temple, never had heard of this poetry center. In fact, he knew very little about me except my poetry. So it was purely on the same level in which we invite poets here. This temple, for it was a temple, it is a temple, is one of the rarest small temples in Japan. It is in itself a national art treasure. It was an unprecedented invitation. And I lived there in a separate little hidden house, perfectly taken care of, very, very simply, Japanese style. And all I do is write poetry. My audiences are not audiences such as you. The only audience I have is when I have written a poem, the priest reads it at dinner. He is the only one who speaks English. And then he puts it into Japanese for the rest of the family and the students. Now, the reason they gave me this house is because they say my poetry is pure Zen. I never studied Zen. The priests in this whole compound say my poems express what they feel, so they want me to be there. Now, I'm going to read you from now on, except for one, the poems I wrote that caused the invitation, and then poems I wrote while I was there. But the first poem I'm going to read, to show you that I've always been this way, with this same type of vision, is the first poem I had published. And this poem was published by accident, because I was very, very shy, and a friend took it and by chance showed it to the editor of Harper's Magazine, who published it, to my absolute fright. Well, here is this poem. And I think you'll see, it's a longest, one of the longest I ever wrote, but I think you'll see that the vision is the same as now. This poem is called Identity. I am a thought in other minds, an echo sounding in the heart to waken songs or pangs or find a conversational counterpart. I am a voice to listening ears, a murmur, shout, or tone of truth. A ring of jollity or tears, a seeming sage or hasty youth. I am a form before the eyes, a swinging movement, a surmise of grace or shapelessness. I am a frame for touching hands, a felt and feeling warmth that stands apart or in closeness. I am a quantity to hold reflection of experience, impressed by humans manifold in sweet or hurtful incidents. I am a sum of all I've sensed of passionate intelligence, by tongues of science influenced and tracings of art's testaments. I am a page prepared by years of forceful primitive careers, the issue of a race. I am the memory to be, the promise of posterity, a step through changing space. As breathing, beating, living leaves above the barren body grieves, each one known and cherished. I am not dead. They weep to see the pieces of themselves in me that have passed and perished.